It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle back with you. Continue to look at Penn State recruiting, and this is a series we've been doing. You can check out the previous pieces on KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, but just call it recruiting trends, just where Penn State has gone, some storylines that have developed at all these different positions. Today it's defensive tackle, which, you know, I don't think any position has had more storylines than defensive tackle has over the years, and I don't think it's anybody's fault per se, but there have been a lot of swings and misses for a variety of reasons, and not all of them have to do with Penn State, you know, falling on its face, so to speak. But you know, you had commitments from guys, I think in the 16 class, Karamo Diabate, Christian Colon, Michael Dwumfor, Adam McLean was a commit in the 15 class. Yep. He had some issues and didn't end up at Penn State. Christian Wilkins, we mentioned him earlier, talking about the Connecticut targets in the 19 class, which is a really interesting group for Penn State. He was a standout in the state of Connecticut that Penn State looked like a leader for. Then towards the end, as it should have, his recruitment went national, and he ended up picking Clemson over Penn State and some others. So this series, you know, a series of misses has contributed, I think, to maybe some of the questions that you have about the depth chart in 2018. Because if they connect and one or two of these guys commit and they stay committed and they work out for the best, you wouldn't have probably the depth issues that you're talking about. You just don't have many known commodities on Penn State's depth chart now. And it goes back to those disruptions.
Right, yeah, no question about it. I think that you look at the defensive tackle depth chart, Dustin, and it just – it's not that it's bad, but it just isn't quite as splashy as I think you would think it would be based on the way other positions were recruited. And you're right, it's not anybody's fault. Just things haven't worked out the way Penn State hoped they would. So you look at it now, you're going to lose Curtis Cothran, of course, Parker Cothran gone too. The question now in a lot of people's minds is Robert Windsor the guy that starts? Is Antonio Shelton the guy that makes a big step forward? Is Kevin Givens the guy that becomes a tackle, not an end tackle? I mean, there's a whole bunch of things to figure out here. Ellison Jordan, a guy that came in and had some injuries, does he make a step forward? What about Fred Hansard and Corey Bowles? There's a lot of pieces here, which is encouraging. You just don't know a lot about them.
Yeah, I think what you've seen for the most part at defensive tackle, it has not been a position where Sean Spencer has had a lot of blue chips to work with. I think Penn State's best defensive tackle, Anthony Zettel, wasn't a tackle at all when they got there, and they had some success transitioning guys. You have these hybrid players. You have Ryan Buchholz, who will see the field at defensive tackle in pass rush situations. Kevin Givens could play end or tackle. You will still be talking, if you're going to look at a full-time starting tackle, it'll be a transition for him this year. One of the things that has happened looking at 2018 and 2017, those two recruiting classes, Hansard and Corey Bowles, to get Hansard and flip him from Florida was really a momentum changer. Any momentum that was working against Penn State at defensive tackle, that brought a lot more optimistic look. Never mind the fact that he arrived at 300-plus pounds.
Right.
He was, size-wise, was ready to step on the field in college. Corey Bowles, a great late addition, I thought, another good thing. And then P.J. Mustipher is an impact player in the 18 class. I don't know if 2018 is the year that this comes to fruition, but Penn State has reversed that trend.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, you look at what they added just over the last few cycles, Dustin. These are really, really good players, kids that came out of high school, highly regarded, highly ranked, successful at the camps they went to. I mean, there's a lot of things going the correct way for Penn State here. There's no doubt about it. When you look at in terms of the growing potential, you mentioned the fact that they haven't got too many blue chippers. We're starting to see that change, though, right? And you look in the class of 2019, And I know we're looking at the current group, but this is a group that can very easily take a step forward. You look at the 2019 class. They have a couple guys on the board here. Rodas Johnson from Columbus, Ohio, a four-star, probably the leader in the clubhouse there. Keep an eye on Hakeem Beeman, too, a North Carolina commit that's gotten a ton of offers of late interest. He's going to open up, I would assume. Penn State will be in the mix once he does. But you look at the 2018 group that's coming in this year. You would have loved to get one of those kids in January, I think, but P.J. Mustipher could be a guy that starts from day one. I think that Aeneas Hawkins will be a guy that plays early, maybe not in the first year, but at some point soon. Judge Culpepper could grow into a defensive tackle. So they got a lot coming. And when you talk about Fred Hansen and Corey Bolt, they're the future, no doubt about it.
Speaking of transition, Damian Barber, you know, that's another big name.
And, he's big.
He's big, he's a bigger boy now, 280 pounds almost. So I think Penn State has done the job to really make the most out of these players. But if you look at the guys who are moving on, they're good players. Curtis Cothran, Parker Cothran, Tyrell Chavis. But they're good players, but they were never that dynamic prospect coming in. Hansard is really one to watch in that regard. Do they have enough? You know, I think you always want at least one defensive tackle per cycle. But does Penn State have enough on the depth chart now, just from a numbers perspective?
Yeah.
Do they need to, and do they need to get multiple in the 19 class?
I think they do. Personally, I don't think they will, though. I just don't think the board really is conducive to them being able to get maybe two or three defensive tackles. I think that's why they pushed so hard to get more in the class of 2018, because the depth continues to be an issue there. For some reason, this is one position that has struggled a bit depth-wise during the James Franklin tenure. I'm not sure why. It just has been a few recruiting misses here and there, and a few guys that have left the team that have set them back a little bit. So they have some work to do, no doubt about it. I do think they're a little bit behind where they would like to be. And maybe the one position where they don't have it exactly spaced out like they would prefer it to be spaced out, talking about numbers and by class.
And I have to go back on the record as saying that the defensive tackles in the 18 class, I really am a fan.
Right.
It starts with Mustipher for sure. I include Judge Culpepper in there, and I see a guy who's 6'5", 260 now, who could be really unique at 6'5", 285. And he's got that Damian Barber type frame where you can just see that extra 20, 30 pounds on him without changing the complexion of his game at all. Aeneas Hawkins is another guy who weighs in around 260-ish, but he's another guy who has some NFL bloodlines in his family. This is a really good class of defensive tackles. It's not something that you're going to see probably make an impact right away, because few defensive tackles do. P.J. Mustipher very well could, though, because he is athletic and enormous, uses his hands well. This will be interesting. It's a replenishing time in the 18 and the 2017 cycles that Penn State could be in good shape, much better shape moving forward. It's another example, Greg, of how, in some respects, Penn State is still contending with NCAA sanctions.
Right.
Because all that stuff played a part in all this disruption. And these disruptions, they don't necessarily impact you. You don't feel some of them right away. But the disruption in the depth chart is being felt right now at defensive tackle.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you mentioned P.J. Mustipher. He is just so well built. Two-time Maryland State Wrestling Champion. If there's ever going to be a guy that can play from day one at defensive tackle at Penn State, oh, man, he's got to be about as good of a candidate as you could get, right? I mean, he is well put together. He's a guy that, let me just double check here. When you look at his frame, though, he just blows you away. 6'4", 290 is what he's listed at by 247 Sports. He doesn't even show up at 6'4", 300. If so, what's to say he's not going to hit the field right away? There's no, there may not be an opportunity to keep him off the field. And you know what? When you get high four-star guys, he's the 78th best player in the country. He's the fifth best defensive tackle in the country. These guys are supposed to play early, and it doesn't always happen on the offensive side of the ball. Defense does seem to be a little bit easier, though. I would be surprised, I think, if he doesn't hit the field in 2018.
You know what encourages me in this conversation is that Yetur Gross-Matos, I don't think he wasn't bumped into playing as a true freshman by need or anything. He just got there in the summertime,
yeah,
proved that he deserved it. Coaches didn't care one way or the other whether, you know, that they should or shouldn't. He proved he belonged, and he made contributions, and really the experience he got, you're going to take your lumps as a young guy no matter what, but the experience he got sets him up really nicely, and you've talked about him a lot in 2018, sets him up really nicely to take a huge step forward this coming season. The fact that Penn State did that bodes well for breaking some conventional norms and playing a true freshman at defensive tackle. Other big-time programs do it. It's right. kind of where college football is heading.
Yep.
And especially when you're getting guys who, I would argue, there's more and more guys out there who are more and more college-ready at those really tough interior positions. Mustafa is one of them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I just think that when you look at what he brings to the table, he's going to be hard to keep off the field. And you're right. I mean, it's for a few different reasons. One, guys are getting through school quicker. There's a lot of guys that graduate in 3 years and want to go to the pros. So you may not have a guy for 4 or 5 years as you used to. So I think that's one thing to keep in mind, that when you see these guys hit the field, there's usually a pretty good reason for it. It's not just because they're a good player. It's also because the timing dynamics of the game have changed.
6'4", 290, and it looks like he's about 250,
yeah,
the way that he moves. So PJ Mustafa, one to watch for sure. In a general sense, this is a little bit new in the interior spots. The defensive ends, I would argue that the most talented guys to come through those positions are there now, and they're young. They're still young yet. Now your Shane Simmons, your Gross Matos, your Shaka Tonys, those guys. Sharif Miller's emerging as a more veteran presence as a junior. But what can Sean Spencer do with some high four-star talent inside and not having to cobble together and maximize three-star talent? I know recruiting rankings, some people want to throw them out the window, but I think that they matter a lot more than they don't. And Fred Hansard and PJ Mustafa are his best two pure prospects at defensive tackle. What's he going to do with them?
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I think that you have a lot of, and this is what Sean Spencer is, you know, he received a bit of a promotion in the offseason, which should, I'm imagining, come with a little bit of a money boost. And he is going to earn his dollars this year. There's no question about it, because he has a lot of pieces. But he needs a guy or two to step up and be that high-impact guy, the guy that can make plays and be relied on. I mean, let's be honest. Penn State had some good defensive end over the last few years, but have any of them really risen to the occasion and you knew that they'd be the guy that gets to the quarterback? I not really in my mind. So there's something to say about this group that's coming here. They have some really talented players. They need one. They've had good play across the board. To me, though, the one thing they're missing, and you saw it at Ohio State and to a lesser extent at Michigan State last year, they need one guy to step up and be the guy that's going to get to the quarterback, because they need, if they can get that guy, defense is going to be a lot better for it.
And I think in a broad sense that Penn State is transitioning from maximizing good prospects to getting really good, borderline great prospects along the defensive line, and it's a good transition to make. I think you're going to see fruits of that labor in 2018 in that defensive end rotation. I think the defensive tackle rotation takes a big step forward in 2019. That's
right.
My prediction. All right, moving on here. Ask Greg is coming up right after this. We'll probably touch on some more recruiting there. Your Penn State football questions will be answered right after this.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-LONG. 405-LONG.